You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we are back. I realize a lot of you are just getting off work, maybe getting in the car or around the country or getting home and have missed what we have been talking about. This is one of those single topic days that doesn't happen very often in mid to late May, but we will try to recap everything for you in a little shortened version. But the latest thing that has happened is two men who make about $20 million together a year have just been reprimanded by the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference. We'll update you on that. Nick Saban started it last night in Birmingham, saying that Texas A&M bought its entire recruiting class. He questioned again whether the NIL model is sustainable. If you have not heard what he said, here it is.
450 people on scholarship at Alabama, whether they're women's tennis players, women's softball players, golfers, you know, baseball players, non-revenue sports that have for years and years and years been able to create a better life for themselves because they've been able to get scholarships and participate in college athletics. That's what college athletics is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be something where people come and make money. And you make a decision about where you go to school based on how much money you're going to make. You should make a decision based on where you have the best chance to develop as a person, as a student, and as a player, which is what we've always tried to major in. And we're going to continue to do that. And hopefully there's enough people out there that want to do it. But I know the consequence is going to be difficult for the people who are spending tons of money to get players. And you've read about them, you know who they are. I mean, we were second in recruiting last year, A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player. All right, but I don't know if we're gonna be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it. Yep. So it's tough, and people blame the NCAA. But in defense of the NCAA, we are where we are, all right, because of the litigation that the NCAA gets, like the transfer portal. Every time somebody wanted to transfer, they'd apply for a waiver. Right, if you didn't give them, the NCAA didn't give them a waiver so they could be immediately eligible, they filed suit. So the NCAA would back off and give them a waiver. So they just said, we're just gonna make a rule where everybody can transfer. That's how that happened. So if the NCAA doesn't get some protection from litigation, whether we gotta get an antitrust or whatever it is, from a federal government standpoint, this is not going to change because they cannot enforce their rules, just like Nate said. We have a rule right now that says you cannot use name, image, and likeness to entice a player to come to your school. Hell, read about it in the paper. I mean, Jackson State paid a guy $1 million last year that was a really good Division I player to come to a school. It was in the paper, and they bragged about it. Nobody did anything about it. I mean, these guys at Miami that are going to play basketball there for $400,000, it's in the newspaper. The guy tells you how he's doing it. So, but the NCAA can't enforce their rules because it's not against the law. And that's an issue. That's a problem.
So what you just have seen and heard occurred late last night in Birmingham. About 11 hours later this morning in College Station, Jimbo Fisher met the media.
First of all, I'll say it's a shame that we have to do this. It's really despicable. It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organ. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. That they broke state laws. That they're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this. when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen, and it's ridiculous. But when he's not on top, and the parity in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parity. Go dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything. And it's a shame that you got to sit here and defend 17-year-old kids and families and Texas A&M because we do things right. We're always going to do things right. But we're always going to be here. We're doing a heck of a job. These coaches have done a great job. Our players have done a great job. The whole organization of recruiting people. It's despicable that we got to sit here at this level of ball and say these things to defend the people of this organization, the kids, 17-year-old kids, and their families. It's amazing. Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable. It really is. And it's a shame we have to sit up here and have this conversation about things we do. And it's personal to us? Yes, it is. It's personal to A&M. It's personal to our players. It's personal to our coaches and everybody involved. And I know the guy. Know him really well. It's amazing that we're allowed to do those things. It's really despicable. And I hate it. For our players who are coming here, who did things the right way, have done things the right way, and will continue to do things the right way, I apologize to you that people insult you publicly the way they're doing it. And our fans, I apologize to you guys for people saying those things about Texas A&M. But promise you this, there are no violations. There are nothing wrong. It's the second time we've had to do this with grown men who don't get their way and want to pout, throw a fit, and act up. Just go ask all the people who work for him. You'll know exactly what he's about. I always said this. My dad always told me this. When people show you who they are, believe them. He's showing you who he is.
Jimbo Fisher, some very strong comments. Said so much that we didn't have time to play at all, including calling Nick Saban a narcissist. Greg Sankey chimed in late this afternoon saying, a hallmark of the SEC is intense competition within an environment of collaboration. Public criticism of any kind does not resolve ideas and creates a distraction from seeking solutions to the issues facing college athletics today. There is tremendous frustration concerning the absence of consistent rules from state to state related to name, image, and likeness. We need to work together to find solutions, and that will be our focus at the upcoming SEC spring meetings. Nick Saban also apologized today for offending anyone. He said he didn't mean to, didn't intend to single anyone out. Sankey mentioned the SEC spring meetings. That will be it starts a week from next Tuesday. It goes on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week. So I can't remember the date. I think it's the last day of May or the first day of June. But whatever that Tuesday is after Memorial Day, we will be there. 31st and June 1st, we will be there on the beach. And I know you all want Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher together on set. Doesn't seem like it's happening based on what Jimbo said today. Jimbo also said in that press conference, asked if Saban had reached out. He said, yes, he called me. I'm not talking to him. We are done. Augie is up next in New Orleans. Augie, good afternoon.
Oh, my God, Paul. Have you had a day like today when it comes to this kind of throwdown between coaches and integrity?
No, because there's never been a day like today. I mean, we've had crazy days here. Lamar Tunsil, I think that was one of the craziest things I've ever seen at the NFL draft, Oklahoma and Texas. But in all the years that I've covered this league, which way exceeds 40, I've never seen two coaches go at it like this. Urban Meyer and Lane Kiffin went at it, but it was tame compared to this.
I mean, that was like romper room compared to this. I mean, there's so many firsts that you're having. You had COVID. You had the whole season. You've got two teams coming into the SEC. Now you've got two top coaches going at each other. And I'll say all of this because it's obligatory whenever you talk about Nick Saban. So let me get out of the way. He's the greatest coach there ever was. There are churches in Alabama where they pray to Nick Saban as Jimbo said, he's God, he's the czar, I mean, I told you, Paul, a couple of weeks, well, maybe a month or so ago, that NIL and the transfer portal are going to be the death of Nick Saban. And you kind of chuckled. Well, look at Saban and how he's acting now. Did you watch the video when he was talking, right, with Brian Harsin to his side? Did you see his knee? If you had a little pump there, you could have provided enough electricity for your house as fast as his knee was bouncing. He was revved up about this. And when Saban says that we don't have universities so people can come and make money, is he volunteering his time? And then when's the last time you ever heard Nick Saban bring up women's sports and defend women's sports? I've never heard him say that. I mean, he's looking all over the place because he knows this is the end of his empire. And I said this long ago, he is not going to be able to manage this like other schools can because it's a matter of resources. Other schools can buy players. And I don't blame Jimbo for doing whatever he did because he didn't violate any rules that we know of, right?
Correct.
And I think you were right when you took John from Louisville to task. He just laid out Jimbo, and he started whacking on him. And Jimbo came back with both barrels. So I'm all for whatever. If NIL is just running amok, that's what the playing field is. And Nick Saban is having a pouting fit. Do you see it anything other than that?
Well, I think he is concerned, but he is vulnerable. And I know sometimes people get confused with what he's accomplished and want to take this to the field. I think Booger McFarland said that earlier. But this is really not about the field. Jimbo Fisher's already beaten Saban on the field. He doesn't have the accomplishments because no one has Nick Saban's accomplishments. But I do agree with you that what we heard from Nick Saban last night it's either different or he hasn't been checked on it. His reaction today was predictable. You know that. I've dealt with Nick Saban on on issues like this. The next day, he is always, I didn't mean that. I'm sorry if I offended you, that kind of stuff. That is very predictable. The difference today is that Jimbo Fisher said he can stick his apology up his you know where.
Well, you know what I also thought was interesting, and I don't recall the name of the guest you had on when he was talking about the Jackson State player. But he brought that to a racial level, and I don't know if I don't think Saban meant it to go there, but that's where it went, and I think that's not going to be great for Saban.
Yeah, Travis. I was on a program this morning with Jay Williams on First Take, and he alluded to that, and I would be very careful. I'm not saying to you, I don't believe Saban meant that, but he did. He singled out a guy who chose in HBCU over Florida State. And Deion Sanders has still not responded other than to call Saban's allegation a lie. I frankly think there may be more there than even with Jimbo. Jimbo is
exactly.
Certainly entertaining, but I'm most interested in what Coach Prime has to say about this because he's already denied
so
it. And there's no evidence to support what Saban, and what really concerned me too, Augie, Saban used as his source, he read it in the paper.
And he didn't name which paper. He just said the paper, the ubiquitous paper, whichever one that is. And I don't know which one that is, and he didn't give any specifics. But I don't think Saban specifically meant to play or bring in the race.
No, I don't
card.
Either. I really don't, because I don't think that's who Nick Saban is. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Jim is up next.
Well, I think that's the stupidest, probably the most blasphemous from a Catholic. You know, there's your Catholics for you, Paul. I'm telling
Catholics, blasphemous? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Augie and what he said about pray to God, some churches in Alabama. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, and I think it's blasphemy. I really do. He better watch what he says, because I promise you this, God Almighty records everything like that, and it'll be brought up one day on that judgment day. I'm telling you, that's the stupidest thing. Yeah, it makes me righteously angry. That's all I got, Paul, but I'm telling you, this guy, paralegal, I got other words for this guy, and I can't say them here because I don't want to be judgmental, I guess is what
you'd
say.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. You should not be judgmental, even though you just got through calling him blasphemous. Meanwhile, the most coveted, while all this is going on, the most coveted player in the portal, Jordan Addison, has just announced where he is going, and we will tell you where when we come back.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back. Chris Fowler will join us in a few minutes, the voice of the CFP Championship and also Saturday Night Football on ABC. Shannon is up next in Georgia. Hello, Shannon.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, bud?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Hey, Paul. You know, I'm trying to understand how Jimbo Fisher can sit in a press conference and claim that they didn't buy any players, they didn't pay any players, they didn't do anything wrong, and in the middle of that same press conference admit, yeah, we have a collective here at Texas A&M, but I don't know what they do, and I don't know who got what, and I didn't know last year either. Did you pick up on that in the press conference, him saying
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I thought if you're grading Jimbo, he did well from an emotional standpoint, but he got a very poor grade for acting like he barely knew what the collective was and how it operated.
And he quickly got away from that topic too, Paul. He immediately jumped on the, well, you can call me a lot of things, but don't call me a cheater and a liar. I would have more respect for Jimbo Fisher and Billy Lugie and all these other people, if they would just stand up and say, you're dadgum right we bought these players, we did it within the rule, and now, Saban, we're going to whip your ass with them.
You're 100% right. Hey, thank you for the call. Legend is next.
Man, Paul, it's popping on this day, brother. Love it. Love it. Nick Saban done went black hat, hadn't he?
it was an absolute prison break today.
Woo! Oh, I'm awarding a black hat to Coach Nick Saban. He just told Jimbo Fisher, I'll be your Huckleberry. Woo! You know, Paul, it's a shame. Despicable! Ridiculous! That we had to look back at this again 2 months later and say again that Jimbo Fisher is the biggest con man ever in college football. I said it 2 months ago. I'll say it again. He's Bobby Dodd Jr. And Texas A&M, Creflo Dollar, ain't nothing but a modern-day SMU. Now, what I'm going to tell you is a fact, and you probably know it. But let me tell it anyway, because you probably can't tell it. But I know it to be a fact from numerous sources in Texas. Texas A&M had two giant boosters that paid a mega sports agent to go out and recruit the best class that they could, and they said no limit on the money. That is not a canned heat from a dumbass redneck. That is a friggin' fact. And let me tell that dumbass moron down in Louisiana that calls himself a lawyer, only a dumbass would bring racism into this. To call Nick Saban a racist is friggin' pathetic. Every white person in the world might as well be a racist if Nick Saban is a racist dumbass. That's why I hate attorneys. Y'all are always putting something in the game that don't belong in the game, because you belong in a damn dumpster. That's where you belong, you stupid moron. Now, Nick Saban went black hat. He said he'd be his Huckleberry. I'm fine with that, Paul. If Texas A&M wants to go to war, let's go to friggin' war, Texas A&M. We don't want none of your fans on our campus. We don't want none of them in the stands. If you want to go to friggin' war with us, we'll go to friggin' war with you, brother. You got an ass-whooping coming in Tuscaloosa. That's all your coach accomplished today, was firing up a giant. That's all he's friggin' and done, brother. And let me tell you something, Jimbo Fisher. You ain't nothing but another ungrateful assistant that if it wasn't for Nick Saban, you'd be coaching at Tulsa Punk. That's right, you'd be at Tulsa Punk without Nick Saban. And let me say this to Greg Sankey. Stay your ass up in Birmingham in your office, and don't you dare ever say anything to Nick Saban unless you want the Alabama fan base to come down to Birmingham and run your ass off. Saban runs it. You know it. He put this conference on the map, not you, brother. If you want a dadgum war, we'll go to war, A&M. Whoa! I brought a dadgum steel chair up in here. That's Jimbo Fisher. Bam! Over your dumbass head. Legend out, baby.
Chris Fowler, coming up next. We'll be right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. We just got some news on Jordan Addison, the Biletnikoff winner from Pittsburgh. He'd been looking at a number of schools. He's going to take his services to Southern Cal and play for Lincoln Riley. That was just announced by the university. And we are delighted to welcome Chris Fowler on a late May day when most of us should be watching golf or playing tennis or relaxing. And instead, we have just an absolute explosion down here in the South. Chris, great to see you. Good afternoon. I hope life is good. Looks good.
Welcome to the jungle, Paul. It gets better every day. And anybody that's all worked up, if legend is indicative of the audience there, that worked up about this, I will lead a group meditation at the end of this segment, and we'll just get everybody calmed down.
Well, we're curious to talk to you because you know all these people. You've covered them for so many years at the highest level, hosting game day, and now, of course, as the voice of Saturday Night and the CFP. So you have a little bit of distance and maybe a chance to look at it objectively, which most of us don't because we're too close to the sun. How are you viewing these last 18 hours in Alabama and Texas?
That's certainly sparking up the offseason and whetting the appetite for October 8th, I believe it is, in Tuscaloosa when the Aggies come calling. Listen, I mean, I think it's interesting. Saban's not afraid to speak his mind. Jimbo Fisher was always going to fire back. I think everybody, though, that it's at the elite level of college football, the championship contending teams, you know who they are. It's a small list, especially at the top of the SEC, should be a little bit careful about being sanctimonious. That doesn't strike me as being too authentic, given the decades of history there. But, hey, I mean, anybody that didn't understand that after NIL came into being, the unintended consequences were going to include basically unrestricted free agency in the sport of college football, and you combine NIL with the transfer portal, and that's what we have. And Jordan Addison was the number one unrestricted free agent, and he has now announced his decision, which really surprises no one. But if you're going to sit and you know, bitch and moan and complain about it, or accuse others of gaming the system, that's not going to get you anywhere. You have to play the game, and Nick Saban has been as adaptable as any coach out there, more adaptable to the changes in rules, the changes in the framework of the sport, and he will this time as well.
Chris, you've been at the epicenter of this sport for a considerably long and impactful period, and I know there, you know, we've had feuds before, you know, Kiffin and a lot of people, but namely Urban Meyer was great drama for a while. There have been others deeper into the past, but you know, we're talking about something pretty dramatic here. You know, Saban said what he did, and you know, you can interpret it any way you want, but there was no misunderstanding Jimbo Fisher today. I'm particularly interested in how you view his very personal attack on Nick Saban, his character, and really almost his entire career.
Yeah, uncalled for. He got off course there. I mean, Jimbo is right to say that he's not cheating on this. They're just gaming the system. I mean, when you claim to have no knowledge of what a collective is, everybody knows what a collective is. That was the unintended consequence that's always going to happen. You have NIL. And the idea that they're going to pay somebody a few bucks for endorsing some local business, forget that. I mean, the collective is real. A lot of schools, not a lot, but certain schools have them, and more will have them. And so I understand Jimbo getting upset when it was implied that he cheated. They did buy players. They just bought them within the framework of the system. And, you know, he struck back, and it's – I mean, Jimbo's a feisty guy. I've had a lot of conversations with Jimbo in his office when he was coaching Florida State, mostly. And they strayed way away from the football field. He got so sick of seeing us. Well, we did them seven times in the year they made the playoff for the first time. But, yeah, so he's a feisty character. Him striking back didn't surprise me. He feels on equal terms with Nick. He's one of the few coaches probably that isn't intimidated and feels like he can swing freely at him. And he did. But I don't think he covered himself in glory, to be honest with you.
No, he did. Well, whether he did or not, he played to his base, which we usually see that up and down the news channel. It's rare that we've seen it to that disagree in sports. But yeah, I don't want to overinterpret what Jimbo Fisher was saying, but you know, he really did cast aspersions toward Nick Saban's integrity, which I don't know. I mean, we both know plenty of assistants who have had fun poking at Nick Saban's overbearance, but all these things equal greatness. But I felt like in Jimbo's case today, I mean, we went way beyond that, Chris.
Yeah, we did, and I don't really understand it except to say again that you know, Jimbo's a feisty character who gets off track a lot, and whether or not he would take anything back or walk anything back privately, he wouldn't do it publicly. I don't know, but you know, listen, it's not the worst thing in the world to have feuding coaches. It's never been where these guys should be really good friends. They're in each other's way. They are obstacles for each other's goals and potential success. So I don't have a problem with it, really. I mean, let him work it out. It's good theater. If he crossed the line and wants to walk it back, okay. If he doesn't, I guess it'll be an interesting collision at midfield.
Something tells me, and you covered the last time we saw Kirby Smart on the field at the national championship game, but something told me Kirby had a really good day. He's had a lot of them lately, but watching these two guys squabble does not hurt his feelings, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's the SEC. Look how overheated your callers are. Look how passionate they are. Look how one guy wants to hit Jimbo Fisher with a metal chair. Somebody else is declaring war. It's blasphemy. I've only watched the last half hour. You live at 365. But, I mean, it shouldn't surprise anyone. It is. It's good theater. You know, Nick Saban is knows full well that Fisher is using the system that's in place. He doesn't like the fact that A&M signed 24 guys on the ESPN top 300. But, you know, at the same press conference or the same event, Saban is calling on Alabama business leaders to pony up because we're going to have to do it because other people are doing it. So there's a lot of mixed messaging in all of this. But, you know, Nick knows the score. I mean, the idea that equality is part of this sport at the top is pretty laughable. Nick used the word equality a lot, and I guess he means in terms of the rules, but there's nothing equal in college football. I mean, you are in two camps in this sport. You are either coaching at a school that says whatever it takes to chase trophies, or you're in the other group. And if you're in the other group, you're not chasing championships. And the whatever it takes group isn't very big, but that's why Brian Kelly leaves Notre Dame and goes to LSU, because Notre Dame will never be whatever it takes, and LSU is all in for that. And A&M is all in for that, and maybe Florida State wasn't when Fisher was coaching there. A lot of friction with the administration at that time. He goes to A&M where whatever it takes, and that's what this sport is about right now. Whatever it takes in terms of bottomless dollars in a collective, NIL, whatever it takes.
Chris, you're at the best.
Is that good? No, but that's.
You're at the best games every week, and you see the interest in the fans. And we've heard people talk about how the sport has changed. But do you think any of, not so much this, but, you know, the paying of the players, however they're being paid, all of this that is currently going on is going to affect those who come to the stadium on Saturday or who watch you on Saturday night?
That's a great question. I don't know the answer, but I was thinking about that a lot today, because there will be a percentage who are totally disillusioned. This is not the college football they remember watching as a kid. Some of the things they loved about the sport maybe are eroding or have eroded very quickly, and they might drift away. But I don't know how big a percentage that will be. Others might be excited by the fact there's this roster fluidity that teams can go from nowhere to the top through NIL in the portal. So it could conceivably attract some fans. But my job is to document what happens once the ball is kicked off. And I think once the games start, during a game, you're not really worried about where did this guy come from, what was his NIL deal. You're just enjoying what's going on the field. And that's really, I think, what people will do once the season gets here. But how people overall feel about the sport, I'd be interested to see some research. I'm sure there are plenty of disillusioned people, even in your part of the country.
No doubt. We'll leave it there. Always fantastic to talk to you, Chris. We look forward to visiting again as we inch closer to the season. Chris Fowler joining us. And we are heading to the break right now. It's been just a breakneck afternoon of activity. We'll talk to John Talty a little bit later on. He is in the epicenter of Alabama football. We've heard the reaction from College Station. We'll hear the reaction from there. We'll also hear your reaction right after this.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
A lot of counties being heard from all over this place today, and it is the reaction has just been unbelievable. Colin Cowherd, who once said that Gus Malzahn would own Nick Saban and beat him 2 years in a row, called Nick Saban a hypocrite. Aaron Suttles, who covers Alabama for The Athletic, just tweeted, "This will eventually die down, but the thing I'll never forget is that Jimbo Fisher, while sitting in front of the official Texas A&M logo, said on the record in a hastily called press conference for the world to hear that someone should slap Nick Saban." We are not making this up. Let me guarantee you that. We are just reading what's written.
Fact is stranger than fiction.
It is. Thanks for checking in with me. Phil is up next in Texas. Hello, Phil.
Paul, how are you doing today?
Phil, we are doing great. Thank you.
I've watched your show over the years and listened to you on the radio while I'm driving. And first of all, I want to say I always thought Nick Saban was a great coach, and he's a master of detail. But to sit there and say that Alabama isn't doing things, I remember the article back when they had a young man that couldn't qualify to get into Alabama, and the assistant coach transferred him over to another high school where he got better grades and is able to get into the school. And so we can't sit back and say Nick Saban is pure of heart. And let's be clear, when coaches get to this point, they're very competitive. Now, Paul, I'm just going to come out and say it. I think you're a shill for Nick Saban. And, I mean, to sit there and watch Nick Saban publicly attack Jimbo Fisher and for Jimbo Fisher to not respond, and it just kind of reminds me of Trump. Well, we don't like the way Jimbo responded. Well, you know what? Jimbo's right. I mean, it's just like all I know is I read UT, the UT, because you know how we feel about Aggies versus UT. All I heard is UT telling everybody A&M spent $33 million on recruiting this year. And there's no way A&M spent. And when you sit there and talk about that, again, this NIL, I was never for the NIL. Still don't like it. But when you got what's the quarterback for Alabama? What's his NIL contract? Quinn Ewers going to Ohio State has a $1 million contract before he even walks in and doesn't even win the starting job. And what's USC doing? I mean, they've already talked about USC guys, the big money guys, actually contacting the players trying to swing into USC. And so for Nick Saban to come out and attack Jimbo Fisher the way he did, and he can act like he didn't intend to, let's be honest, Nick Saban doesn't do anything unless he's thought about it. Unless he's thought about it. So anyway, I'm here. Well,
thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. You be well. Rod is in Ohio. You're on the air. Hello, Rod.
Good afternoon, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good. I wanted to make about five different points here real quick. First of all, the weather in Ohio is clear skies. Down in West Virginia, it's cloudy. And down in Alabama and Texas, it's stormy. Other than that, if this was a debate, I think Nick won. Nick didn't personally attack Jimbo, I'm sorry, but Jimbo went on a personal rampage. That's my second point. My third point is when Jimbo is at Florida State, didn't he have a player named Winstone or something like that down there that got in trouble and the whole program had problems?
I think you're talking about Jameis Winston. I tell you what, Rod, we're having a hard time hearing you. You sound like you're literally at the Chick-fil-A drive-thru, so let me see if we can get you reconnected. Frank is in Minnesota. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Paul, great show today, and thank you for leading us through this real-time drama.
Thank you.
Hey, Paul, this isn't a story about, a coach being called a narcissist. I think you'd agree most of them wear that title.
Oh, yeah.
And this is not a story about ego. All these guys have big ego. And it's not a story about NIL, because we all kind of know that Texas A&M simply figured out the rules of that game quicker and better than anyone else today. What this is, though, is a massive story in that the unquestionable greatest coach in the history of college football is being called a serial cheater by a person who might know where the bones are buried to some degree. That's the story. And
Frank,
that's
I agree with you, and I've asked
story.
Several people about that, and nobody really wants to go there, but there's so much to unpack on Jimbo Fisher. I know the cheap shots and, you know, want to fight Saban in a dark alley are the most exciting, but I thought he...
I agree with you, Paul.
He obliterated Saban on his entire body of work.
Absolutely. That's the story, Paul, and that's the story that a great journalist somewhere is going to go down, is to kind of understand that, because all that other stuff is just noise and drama and messy and it's interesting and blah, blah, blah. But to call the greatest coach ever a career cheater, that's a massively large statement.
And there were two interviews with Saban today, and, you know, again, I haven't talked to him, but, I think you're right. I mean, I would like to know, let's talk about what Jimbo Fisher has accused you of. Now, he didn't do it. He didn't do it chapter and verse, but this isn't the first time Jimbo Fisher has said that. He said that in February, and everybody mistook it for Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin's a sideshow in all this.
I agree. He's
the kid on the playground who is trying to get the two bullies together for a fight.
I agree. At some point, Paul, somebody's going to have to dig into that. And then just my other final point today is, I thought Saban's walk back today was comical. To say that he didn't mean to call anybody out, he called out three people specifically, Miami, Jackson State, and Texas A&M. So that was not the Alabama PR department's finest moment.
If you are, if you have a PhD in Sabanology and are a certified Sabanologist, as I am, I'm personally certified. That is classic Nick Saban. He has done that routinely over the years. He'll say something, and then the next day he calls the person, walks it back. Only this time, nobody would talk to him. And that's really, it would have been much easier for Saban to say, I talked to Jimbo, and, you know, we had a couple of laughs, and, you know, we're going to get together in Destin and have a beer. It would have been much better if Coach Prime had said the same thing. But that is what that is what's missing from Saban today is those apologies accepted. John Talty is next.